It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
I should be playing our theme music from our Trail of Shame segment because we're starting things off today with news about a big poaching ring that has been busted up in Nebraska. The poachers operated under the guise of an outfitter near Broken Bow called Hidden Hills Outfitters, and the owner, Jacob Huftel, was doing all sorts of illegal things when it came to hunting deer, pronghorn, and turkey in eight different Nebraska counties. What kind of things? Oh, how about Huftel shooting like 100 raptors, hawks, and falcons? Or maybe taking at least 97 animals near bait stations. You're not allowed to do that in Nebraska. Or shooting deer with a rifle during archery season. Or shooting animals in the dark. Or worse still, shooting animals out of season. These are just a few of the crimes Huftel and 29 other co-defendants from 21 states engaged in over a five-year period. And one of those co-defendants, I'm sorry to say, was Outdoors television host Rod Owens, who actually filmed a couple of hunts here where he helped place the bait that attracted deer into range in one case and finished a deer off with a rifle during the archery season too. The good news? U.S. Fish and Wildlife agents, assisted by state investigators, put together a great case. And Mr. Huftel is now heading to prison for 30 months. In addition to this, over $570,000 in fines and restitution have been levied against the defendants, and those trophies the defendants hung on their walls back home, all taken away. I've got to applaud Federal Judge Joseph Batalin for throwing the book at these poachers. This kind of punishment is long overdue and hopefully will be a deterrent. Our thanks to the Omaha World Herald for their solid reporting on what is being called the biggest poaching case in Nebraska state history. This week on America Outdoors Radio, we've got some hitters stepping up to the plate. One of them is Colin Kearns, the executive editor of Field & Stream magazine. If you haven't picked up the latest edition, and you're a hunter, you need to, because the main theme is hunting camp. Whether you enjoy a fall deer camp, elk camp, duck camp, or any other game or fish camp, you're going to love our conversation with Colin about what makes these camps so special, how new people are showing up at them, and why folks return to them every year. Our other slugger, that would be Andrew McKean, the hunting editor of Outdoor Life magazine. He's not a man to talk politics, but he wrote a great piece about politics in terms of what's at stake this election for outdoors men and women, especially firearms owners and those who love our public lands and clean water. Andrew will share some of the issues with you, and both of us are urging you to do your research and vote. In addition to this, I had the pleasure of trying out what were far and away the best muck-style below-the-knee boots I've ever worn this opening day of duck season. They're made by Irish Setter. They're called the Mud Trek boot. And whether you're a hunter, rancher, farmer, or even an ice fisherman, I think you're going to want to find out more about them when Charlie Bryant with Irish Setter Boots joins us in a few minutes. Before we talk to Charlie, Colin, and Andrew, though, I want to tell you about something very special taking place in some of our schools around the nation that's introducing the next generation to the great outdoors. Next on America Outdoors Radio, we are going to talk to Ricky Fairchild. He's the chairman of the board for the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation. It's a nonprofit based in Dallas, Texas, and they bring the outdoors to classrooms in middle schools and high schools all over America. Ricky, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, John.
So, just saw a press release, the Outdoor Adventure Program, it's coming to schools in Arkansas, also known as the Natural State, and this is something our listeners tuning into FM 102.9 KARN out of Little Rock are going to be very excited about. Give us a brief overview of what this program's all about.
Well, we are thrilled to be bringing our program to Arkansas, which is the 37th state in the country that we now have our Outdoor Adventures program in now. But what we do is we are the nation's leading provider of in-school outdoor education. So real briefly, instead of going to PE to play dodgeball or play basketball, our students go and learn lifelong skills like archery, fishing, camping, CPR, all of the outdoor skills that so many of us love and enjoy for our lifetimes.
So you're actually offering this at 600 schools in 37 states, like you said, reaching 60,000 students a year. Is the curriculum a standalone class where it's like, okay, I'm going to my outdoor adventures class, or is it something that's incorporated, like you said, into the physical education class, into biology, into a science class? How does that work exactly?
So typically our class, which is called Outdoor Adventures, is taught as a PE substitute. So it can also be taught as an ag science class, but most often it's in lieu of PE, and it is a standalone curriculum. Typically, both semesters are taught. There are, I believe, 23 or 24 units that the teacher can choose from to teach throughout the course of the year, and it covers the entire spectrum from ATV safety to boater safety, hunter education, and like I said, fishing, camping, and so on. So it is really a comprehensive outdoor education curriculum.
You know, I was on your website, gootf.com. That's the website for the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, folks. And I was looking at a video, and I saw, you know, kids were basically learning to cast with a fly rod. I saw that kids were shooting arrows at targets, you know, learning archery. And I saw kids learning CPR. But how do the schools get the equipment? Is that provided by your foundation, or do they just get the curriculum for the foundation and then they have to find the fly rods, find the archery equipment, you know, get a hold of the Red Cross for CPR supplies?
So we are able to source and provide grants for part of the equipment packages. So we are a turnkey provider of not only the curriculum, but also the equipment. And we have some wonderful supporters across the country who provide grants for equipment packages to at least help the schools get started with what they need. And then depending on how extensive the equipment that they'd like to have is, then in some cases there is an additional charge for that extra equipment.
Sure, that's absolutely understandable, but it's nice to know that it is a turnkey program. There are sources for schools out there, because when it comes to schools and starting something new, money, as we both know, is always an issue. Now, this is for middle schoolers. This is for high schoolers. If some of our listeners are interested in bringing this program, this curriculum to their school, what do they need to do?
The best thing they can do is reach out to us. Like you said, our website is gootf.com. And then if they want to reach out to our education director, Scott McClure, his email address is Scott, S-C-O-T with one T, at gootf.com. And Scott can give them all the information they could ever imagine and explain to them how they can bring it to their schools. And it's not just middle schools and high schools any longer. We actually, for the first time this year, are now offering an elementary version of our program. So from kindergarten all the way up through 12th grade, we are able to impact kids' lives and get them learning about the outdoors and building that love and passion that so many of us have for the outdoors.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I'm a kid and I have a choice of running around the track six times for my class or learning how to fly fish or shooting a bow and arrow, I think I'm going to go for the Outdoor Adventures program every time. One other thing we should talk about here, we're always talking about getting new hunters, new anglers, new outdoors enthusiasts into the fold. This has got to be making a difference. This has got to help, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So we have just this past year, we had about 15,000 students go on to get their hunter education certificate directly through our class. And that just right off the top, you know, suggests that we are really not just teaching students these skills, but we are actually getting them outdoors, and in many cases, getting them outdoors for the first time and teaching them something that they can go and enjoy with their brothers and sisters, their parents, their friends, whoever. And it's just amazing to see how this can change kids' lives, because it's not just going and getting a certain demographic. It's boys, it's girls, it's athletic kids, it's non-athletic kids, it's every ethnicity you can imagine. When they all come into that class and start learning these things that they may have never been exposed to, their eyes light up and they just really grab a hold of it. And it's amazing just to see how impactful it can be.
Equal Opportunity Outdoors Education. I absolutely love it. Again, folks, it's the Outdoor Adventures Program. It's brought to you by the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, a great nonprofit doing great things. You can find out more by going to their website, gootf.com. That's gootf.com. Check out what they're all about and contact your school and see if you can get the Outdoor Adventures Program in a school near you. Ricky, thanks for the work you do, and thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Immerse yourself in a complete Alaska wilderness experience through Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Up to six of you will spend a week in a beautiful waterfront log home in a secluded cove. Every day is a new adventure. Go on a guided fishing trip or haul in a bounty of shrimp and crab. Visit a Native American village where totem poles are carved. Go on a whale or bear watching trip and return back to your very own place at the end of the day. Find out more about the Alaska Wilderness Experience at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com.
The Dalzen, Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
Next on America Outdoors Radio, I have got to tell you about a pair of boots I wore for the opening day of duck hunting season, and I'm going to in just a minute, but I want to get someone on the line who knows a lot more about him than I do. His name is Charlie Bryant. He's a product manager for Irish Setter Shoes and Boots, and he knows all sorts of things about great work boots and great hunting boots, too. Charlie, great to have you on the air.
Thanks for having me.
So, Charlie, before we get to these Mud Trek boots that I got to wear for opening day of hunting season, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Irish Setter Boots, a company that's 70 years young?
Yes, so the Irish Setter brand has been around since the 1950s. Actually, 1950 is when it really started, but it started as a brand within the Red Wing Shoe Company. We came out with the iconic sport boots that we now call the Wing Shooters, which are white wedge-soled outdoor boots, we called them back then. But that has, you know, changed over time into hunt and work boots in our line. But over time, the product family had blossomed into its own brand, and current day, Irish Setter is a major brand within the Red Wing Shoe Company.
Growing up and going out pheasant hunting back in the 70s, I think every other hunter I saw was wearing some of those Irish Setter boots. They really were iconic. And do you still make those today?
We do. Those boots are being made today. They may have transpired into different looking boots, new technologies, new looks, things like that. But we still do make the one that was made in the 50s right here, you know, in Red Wing, Minnesota. So we still do make that boot.
And I was going to ask that. Your products, by and large, are they made in a plant at Red Wing, Minnesota? And how many people work there?
Well, you know, Red Wing Shoe has many different plants that we utilize. We utilize plants in Red Wing, also other parts of the United States, and we do boots overseas as well with our overseas partners producing boots for Irish Setter as well. So we do manufacture really worldwide.
All right. Well, let's talk about these Mud Trek boots. They're camouflage. The set I have is insulated, 17 inches, so it goes right up to below the knee, which I love. And they're really roomy, and they're really comfortable. This is literally the best muck boot I've ever worn. Tell our listeners a little bit more about it.
Yeah, so the Mud Trek is our new rubber boot family that we launched and is available this fall, brand new. What we did was we put a lot of time and effort talking to consumers. What do they wear currently, whether it's our boots previous or the competition? What do you like and dislike about the boots that you have? And what features are important to you in buying your rubber boots, whether you use them for hunting, whether you use them just for outside use, general use, or you use them for work? What are those important features? So we spent a lot of time and research in looking at the market, talking directly to consumers, and the output or result of that is the new Mud Trek boots. And they are packed full of brand new features and benefits that are on top of mind with the consumer, and it's what the consumer has been looking for.
Now, folks, the Mud Trek, they're not all camouflage. So, I mean, this really is a great boot, whether you're a farmer or you're a rancher, or maybe you're a pheasant hunter that's working in the late season, or a duck hunter that like me. A couple things I really like. It has insulation and it's temperature regulating. So I'm out for the opening day of duck hunting season. It's cold in the morning, but my feet are warm. But then I'm tromping around as the temperature warms up, and I'm expecting my feet in an insulated boot to be sweating like crazy. And they weren't. They were comfortable all day.
Yes. So that was one of the big wants and needs from the consumer, was they felt, you know, their feet would, you know, get hot, get cold. So we looked at and created a new technology called TempSense. And really what that is your feet get cold because your feet sweat and get wet, and then you may sit and then they get cold. That is one reason. So, you know, this new technology reacts to what is going on in the foot. In a situation where your foot is hot and then it gets cold, it'll hyperwick away moisture very quickly to cool your foot so it doesn't get cold over time or stay wet over time. It's really kind of what's going on in the boot. It can work inversely as well to heat your foot as well. So, you know, the TempSense technology is new for Irish Setter and new for these boots.
Well, it works like a champ. I got to tell you my favorite feature, though. Now, if you go out to my garage, you're going to see a bucket where I've got, I don't know, four or five pairs of muck boots that I've accumulated over the years. Everything from the very basic rubber muck boot to stuff a little bit better. Nothing as good as the Mud Trek, though. My favorite feature was the cinch at the top of the boot. And anybody who's been out waterfowl hunting or maybe out in just a muddy pasture has probably had that experience of getting your foot stuck in the mud. You pull it out and the boot stays in the muck, and all you've got is your foot and the sock on it, and now you've got a little situation going. But with this cinch, you cinch it tight, you don't have that problem anymore.
So the boots, you know, one big feature that we're doing, and this is different for our line and not available in other brands, is we're doing a two-fit system with this boot. So we have athletic fitting boots and styles, and we have what we're calling full fitting boots and styles. So depending on and which style you have, some might fit a little more snugly and around your foot, fitting around that more like an athletic fit, so it'll stay on. And then we have looser fitting boots if your calves are bigger, or if your feet are bigger, wider, or if you just like that roomier fit, if you want to wear an extra sock, things like that. The full fitting boots with that situation as well. So we really do have a two fit system depending on your wants and needs, what type of hunting you're doing, where you're at in the United States. Is it muddy, very muddy, like you're talking, in wet conditions, or is it, you know, dry early season conditions? Depending on what you have or need, we have the fit story for you with these boots.
Bottom line is this, folks, the Mud Trek from Irish Setter Boots, this is a home run. If you're looking for some great muck boots, this is definitely the pair for you. Now, one other pair of boots I got to talk about that I like to pull on after the hunt, your new Deadwood Cowboy boot. It's an 11-inch pull-on. It looks great, feels fantastic. Tell our listeners a little bit more. I'm not used to Irish Setter having cowboy boots.
Sure. So, I mean, people aren't always hunting or working, so they want to have shoes and boots for casual use as well. We want to keep those consumers in our footwear, so we know that is a big market for us, and people wear that type of footwear all the time. So, you know, we're looking at 365-degree sales year, not just hunting in the fall and things like that. So we do have a casual line, or a lifestyle line is what we're calling it now. And, you know, one big segment of the market is pull-on boots. Whether you're working in square toes or round toes or wearing them casually, there are a lot of them types of boots out there. We sell a lot of them on our work side of the business, and, you know, that's just transpiring into our lifestyle casual business as well. So the new Deadwood boots are our casual square toe, and they're doing pretty well for us as well. And, you know, what we've tried to do there is look at a boot pull on that's got a little Western feel, but, you know, doesn't have all the shaft stitching and things like that. But we're utilizing one of our own plants. We also own, Red Wing Shoe does, our own tannery, which is in Red Wing, Minnesota, leather tanning. And we're utilizing our leathers in that boot, and they turned out very well, I think.
I would agree. Turned out very well indeed. Folks, if you want to take a look at these, all you have to do is go down to your nearest ranch or hardware store that sells boots or sporting goods store. You can also just go to irishsetterboots.com. You'll find the Deadwood Cowboy line there, along with the Mud Trek line, and all sorts of other hunting and work boots too. Irish Setter shoes and boots, you know, they're made by Red Wing. They are quality boots, and I think you're going to love them as much as I have. Charlie, thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks for having me.
We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now, and there's a reason. They are the only Alaska lodge we talk about in this show. It's because they're truly Alaska's best lodge. The adventure starts with a float plane ride from Ketchikan, after which you'll get the chance to experience some of the best hospitality, food, and wonderful people you'll ever meet. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales, and let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
The Dalles in Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores, plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We've got Colin Kearns on the line. He's the editor of Field & Stream magazine. And if you pick up the latest copy, I really think you're going to love it, because right on the cover, it says, "Welcome to Camp." It's all about hunting camps, whether it's deer camp, elk camp, or something else. Colin, great to have you on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me, John.
You know, I really enjoyed this edition. I think most folks, you know, when they think of hunting camps, they generally think of deer camp or elk camp, but I've enjoyed many years of duck camps. I've even seen folks at a quail hunting camp before, and I honestly think the camp experience for many of us as hunters is just as important as the hunt itself, and you really captured that in this edition.
Yeah, thinking of topics and themes to tackle for this issue, we, you know, wanted something that would lend itself to a whole bunch of different kinds of stories. You know, of course, the tips, the hunting and fishing tips that people expect when they pick up an issue of Field & Stream, but also, you know, the stories of family and tradition and rituals and cooking and stuff like that. And, you know, no topic really lends itself better to that variety of stories like hunting camp. And, you know, hunting camp is something we've covered many, many times over the years. And we do that, you know, for a very simple reason. It's one of our favorite places in the world, and we know it's one of our readers' favorite places. And to your point about the different kinds of camps, whether it's for deer or elk or ducks or quail, or even a fishing camp, in addition to that, it's also like the actual like structure of the camp doesn't matter. Like it could be a nice cabin, it could be someone's house, it could be a trailer or a wall tent or anything. It really like whatever, you know, species you're after or whatever shape the camp is, like none of that matters. It's all about the spirit of the camp and the people you share it with.
Well, there's all sorts of stories and tidbits in this edition about camp from a variety of your writers there, and one of them's from you, and it's all about that, you know, speaking of traditions, happy hour after the hunt, where everyone gathers around the fire or around a table in their chairs and talks about how the day went. And, you know, everyone thinks of happy hour as, you know, cracking open a cold beer or pouring yourself some sipping whiskey, but it's about the food, too. That's really, really important. And your piece talks about some of the preferred hunt camp food. Why don't you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, exactly. I kind of think of happy hour almost as the fourth meal of hunting camp, you know, especially after a long day. You're worked up an appetite. You're ready to sit back and relax and, you know, warm up with some good food and drinks and also just conversation with your friends. But, you know, I like to keep mine pretty simple, you know, like venison summer sausage, good sharp cheddar cheese. But the one ingredient that is like irreplaceable, you know, for my perfect happy hour spread is Ritz crackers. That's the only kind of cracker that should be allowed at camp because it's just a perfect food.
I agree, and I think there's a lot of hunters that agree with you when it comes to Ritz crackers and their place at the table for happy hour or any other hour when it comes to hunting camp. You know, another thing about hunting camp, you touched on this, is just the traditions and the people. I mean, you actually have multi-generational attendees at any given hunting camp. You've got, of course, the hunters themselves. You've got some that have aged out of the hunt, but they still love coming to camp, and they might be cooking or just puttering around and just spending time with the hunters as they come back from the field. And then you've got the brand new people who have never been to hunt camp before. And I'll tell you what, it can be a little intimidating if you've never been to camp before. It's your first time there. Bill Heavey had some great advice about how to make yourself welcome at any camp. It's all about taking out the trash.
Yeah, that's right. He's been a newcomer to many camps over the years. That's one of his specialties is we'll just kind of airdrop into a camp, you know, and let him kind of find his way and, you know, introduce himself to the folks in that camp. But he's got a great bit of advice. You know, you're the newcomer at camp. You're not used to the traditions and the way things go. And, you know, one great way to prove yourself at a new camp is to just put yourself to work, and it could be cleaning up dishes after dinner or helping set the table, or in this example that he writes about, it's being the garbage man, just taking out the trash without being asked to do so. And, you know, he's got a very humorous way of telling it, but, you know, the point is, it's like, if other people see you putting in the effort and trying to prove yourself that you're just one of the guys at camp, that's a quick way to earn their respect and to be welcome back at camp in later years.
You know, something else I really liked that's in this edition of Field & Stream, Welcome to Camp, are the new faces in camp. You have a whole article on that, and basically a photo essay that goes along with it. And I think a lot of us, you know, have this stereotypical picture of a hunt camp that it's a bunch of old, middle-aged, and young white guys that are basically in, you know, flannel shirts and hunting pants and boots, and they spend a few days at camp hunting and drinking. But there's all sorts of new people, women and people of color and people of different ethnicities and everything else that are showing up in camp these days, and that's good for the sport.
Yeah, it couldn't be better for the sport. The piece you're talking about is a deer camp that happened in Iowa last year, and it was a whole bunch of, it was an archery hunt with first-time hunters. They're, you know, the quote-unquote adult onset hunters, and those are, you know, the demographic that I think are really, you know, the ones to go after because they're the ones who have the time and resources to really, you know, once they've learned how to hunt, how to kind of keep going and continue to do it on their own, whereas, you know, with younger hunters, you know, you might have to continue to mentor them. But with this story, what's so neat is all the different reasons that these men and women wanted to take up hunting, whether it was, you know, understanding better where their meat comes from or just learning a new skill such as bow hunting, and just being like very curious about this new sport. And it really is encouraging to see so many new faces, you know, embrace hunting and hopefully have it become something permanent in their lives.
You know, and the other thing about a hunt camp, again, whether it's a deer camp, elk camp, duck camp, whatever, two things, the camaraderie and the mentorship that goes with that. Mm-hmm. And when we can get these new faces at camp, and we can go ahead and welcome them into the fold and make them feel as welcome as they ought to be and give them some mentorship so they can have a successful hunt or teach them how to clean a bird or skin a buck. You know, doing these things really helps them along and gets them to be not only return attendees, but gets them invested in the sport.
And 100%. And, you know, ideally, then years down the line, they would become the mentors and they would be, you know, sharing these skills that they learned with future outdoorsmen and outdoorswomen. And, you know, ultimately, the goal here is to just keep the traditions and the sport alive for as long as we can.
Well, speaking of traditions, I know you're getting ready to head to a camp. Why don't you tell our listeners where you're going, what kind of hunting camp it's going to be?
Yeah, so this will be year 5 of a deer camp I share with a couple of my coworkers. We're all based in New York, and every November we drive up to Adirondack Park in upstate New York, just this incredible state park, over 1 million acres of public land. And we will, so we've got a big wall tent that we pitch, and, you know, that's home for the week. And then every morning we wake up, you know, in the pre-dawn and head into the woods, and we all kind of go our separate ways. It's really challenging hunting. The wilderness there is very thick and rugged, and there are very few deer. So we struggle finding deer, but, you know, that's all the challenge is part of the fun. And then, yeah, after, you know, once sun goes down, we all head back to camp and, you know, tell stories and cook good food and look forward to doing it all over the next day. So I head up to my camp on this coming Sunday, and I can't wait to see my buddies again and to enjoy some fresh air in the mountains.
Well, two things. Number one, I hope you tag out this year. Sounds like it will be a challenging hunt, but it sounds like a fantastic place to have a deer camp. And number two, and I know you won't, don't forget those Ritz crackers. Colin, we've got to go.
You know I won't.
I know you won't, Colin. We've got to go. But as always, I enjoy having you on America Outdoors Radio. Can't wait to chat with you again sooner than later.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks very much.
Ready to step up to a quality-built rifle or shotgun that's a true classic? Check out Henry Repeating Arms. American-made. There's over 150 models to choose from in a variety of finishes and calibers for hunters and target shooters. Many of these are lever-action models with a classic look right out of the Old West. Don't be deceived, though. Henry Repeating Arms are modern, rugged, reliable, and have a lifetime guarantee. Find out more and order a free catalog today at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
Attention homeowners, spending more time around your house means you're putting more stress on major appliances that keep your home running. Like many Americans, a major breakdown could be very costly during these uncertain times. AC unit goes, that's $4,500. Water heater breaks, $1,500. When you own a home, it's always something. If you have a home warranty, those repairs could cost you nothing. A Home Service Club warranty pays for the repair or replacement of your home appliances and systems when they break down, even from normal wear and tear. For about $1 a day, you can cover your home appliances and systems. It's not a question of if they'll break down, it's when. If you call now, you'll get your first month free and $75 off your first year. Make home appliance repairs one less thing to worry about. Call 800-259-1604 now for your free quote, free first month, and $75 off your first year. 800-259-1604 now. That's 800-259-1604. Again, 800-259-1604.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might get away.
Shiloh Inns are open and ready to welcome you back. Hello, I'm Mark Hemstreet, owner of Shiloh Inns. While we practice social distancing, we're still always committed to providing clean, safe, comfortable rooms and friendly service. Shiloh hotel guests and employees deserve the peace of mind knowing that we are always focused on maintaining high standards of cleaning and safety practices. Our American spirit is alive and strong, and while we're all going through these unprecedented historical times, we can face these challenges together. Although we may wear face masks, there are no restrictions on still making travel memories for business or pleasure. So book your next stay with confidence by calling 1-800-222-2244 or visit our website at shilohinns.com. Shiloh Inns, affordable excellence, American family owned and proud of it.
I'm glad you're back. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at WorkSharp, and I've got to ask you hunters out there, do you carry a pocket knife sharpener with you in the field or in your backpack? I mean, it is hunting season, and hopefully you've got a sharp knife, but we don't always remember to check that before we head out in the field. And if you've got a dull knife and you've got an animal down and you're trying to clean it or you're trying to skin it, this can be a major problem. That's why it's great to have a lightweight pocket knife sharpener. Fits right into your pocket with plenty of room to spare, and you can sharpen that knife several times over if necessary to get the job done in the field. If you want to buy a pocket knife sharpener or any other manual or electric knife sharpener and tool sharpener from WorkSharp, look for them in sporting goods stores and hardware stores across the country, or go to WorkSharpTools.com, shop online, and use the coupon code RADIO when you check out, because when you do, you will instantly get 30% off your order and free shipping. Now that is a deal. The website again, WorkSharpTools.com. Next on America Outdoors Radio, it's time to talk politics. After all, there is an election coming up in a few days, but we're going to talk about politics with the outdoors in mind, and the person we've got on the line is Andrew McKean, the hunting editor for Outdoor Life. Andrew, it's great to have you back on the air.
It's great to be back, John.
The reason I'm calling is you wrote a great piece, and folks, you can read this piece at OutdoorLife.com, that's about the upcoming election and how you might want to consider voting if you are a sports person, whether you are a hunter or whether you're a conservationist. There's a lot to consider with this election coming up. Let's go ahead and start with the top ticket, because that's really driving a lot of the vote, a lot of the participation, Biden versus Trump. If you are an outdoors person, what are the main issues on both sides that you're paying attention to?
You know, they're ones that we've had with us for generations, really. But I think they're sharpened like everything else in this election year. It's kind of guns versus a place to use your guns. So keeping the Second Amendment intact versus public lands, and I would say environmental management and kind of having functional habitat for the animals that we love to hunt. Those are kind of big divides, but there's definitely smaller sort of cleaves within those. But I have to say at the outset, talking politics is something I try to avoid at all costs. I mulled doing this story for a long time, but I also reckoned that it's important that we have this discussion. And, you know, I looked around our space within the kind of outdoors journalism, and I really didn't see anybody kind of having the intestinal fortitude to take it on. So I thought, well, I'll do it. As I've told a couple of people, it would have been just as easy not to have written this, But, you know, I'm glad I did because it's gotten some great conversations, either started or continued. I don't pretend it's going to change a lot of minds, but I do think it's important to have the conversations.
I agree with you on that. And I guess starting with the guns, obviously on the pro-Second Amendment side, and you'll pry my gun from my cold, dead hands, would be Donald Trump. He's supported by the National Rifle Association, the National Shooting Sports Foundation, number of other pro-Second Amendment groups. There's a lot of fear among gun owners that Joe Biden is president, or Kamala Harris, as she becomes president, if Joe Biden doesn't stick around, might want to take away our guns. What were people in the Biden camp saying about that?
Well, my primary source for gun rights and gun issues was Larry Keene. He's the general counsel and vice president for the National Shooting Sports Foundation. You know, and that's an outfit that really has as its job representing the gun industry as well as lobbying for gun policies. So no surprise, he is very pro-gun. But he had an interesting perspective. We were actually talked right before the Supreme Court nomination of Coney Barrett was going on. And I think some of his take was predicated on not being sure how that was going to turn out. And so his take was really the Supreme Court. Which president gets to nominate Supreme Court justices, he thinks has an awful lot to do with the future of gun rights in America. For instance, the Supreme Court so far has refused to hear any Second Amendment cases, but there are a couple working up through the appeal system that might want to revisit the Heller decision. And that was that Washington, D.C. decision in which the Supreme Court basically said the right to own and bear arms is an individual right versus a collective right of a militia. You know, and that's a really big thing for us as sportsmen. We don't belong to militias. Typically, our guns are used and owned as individuals. So, you know, that's one that really has a lot of bearing on kind of our future.
The other issue is public lands. And, you know, you can definitely credit the Trump administration for expanding hunters and anglers' opportunities on our public lands, especially in national wildlife refuges. But you kind of frame it a different way, protection versus extraction. Whereas the Democratic side tends to lean towards protecting our public lands, whereas the Republican side quite often leans towards a multi-use of these lands to include extracting minerals and timber and other things that could harm them. Go ahead and tell us more about these thoughts and the two camps.
I think that's a really good way to frame it. And I think it's probably phrased a little extreme. I think the reality is somewhere in the middle of both of those poles. But what the Democrats are saying is basically the Trump administration has been very unbalanced when it comes to resource management, that it's been industry first and deregulation first and other considerations, including, you know, clean water, clean air, functional wildlife habitat second. Again, that's a fairly extreme position because obviously there is going to be some middle ground there. But, you know, I talked to a really interesting woman. Her name is Tracy Stone Manning. She was director of the Environmental Quality Department in Montana previously, and now she works for the National Wildlife Federation. But she basically said, this is a quote, and I actually just pulled up the piece, "At every turn, this administration has favored natural resource extraction over natural resource protection." She said, "Most hunters and anglers in this country understand that we need a balanced approach if we're going to pass these resources onto our kids." And I think that's a fairly representative comment of that side. Like, hey, we might not see the results of some of these environmental rollbacks, like the Clean Water Rule and some of the, for instance, allowing coal ash to be dumped in streams in the Appalachians. We might see some of this immediately. Some of it we might not see for 20 years.
Right.
But in no way is it going to be good for the resources that we love to hunt and fish and rely on for clean water and clean air.
It's a real conundrum for those of us who are both hunters and conservationists in terms of which way to go. And it's not just the top of the ticket. It goes all the way down red versus blue in many cases. Though there are some politicians who do get it on both sides when it comes to both issues. The bottom line, though, and you bring this up at the end, is the importance of voting. All of us as sportsmen, sportswomen, should be casting a ballot. Why is that?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, we continue to be a minority in this country. And one of the interesting things about sportsmen and voting sportsmen and women is we tend to occupy these swing states where elections at the national level are really made. And you look at, you know, certainly the ones that have been in the news, New York, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina. In a lot of the cases, it's rural voters that really tip the balance. And so no matter how you frame the election, no matter what the, you know, the salient issues that really mobilize you are, go and vote and have your voice be heard, especially in rural America. We need every one of us, hunters and anglers, to vote in order to have our perspectives counted at all.
Great advice, and I would echo that completely, folks. If you don't vote, you have nothing to complain about when the results come out. So study the issues, study the individual politicians and their stances on these issues, and then cast your ballot. It may well make a difference. Andrew, always a pleasure to talk to you on America Outdoors Radio. And folks, be sure to check out his article at OutdoorLife.com. We will catch up with you again soon, Andrew.
Well, I hope we're talking about something besides politics.
Me too. As we wrap things up, I'd like to remind you not only about elections, but about our Facebook giveaway. We're doing a $100 Hunter's Package giveaway. If you go to our America Outdoors Radio Facebook page, simply like and follow our page. That's step one. Then look for the post. It's pinned to the top of the page, and you'll see everything we're giving away, to include one of those pocket knife sharpeners from WorkSharp and a hunting knife to go with it. There's all sorts of other things too. All you have to do to enter to win is let us know what city and state you're from on the post thread there. If you want a bonus entry, let us know what station you're listening to as well. We are going to draw one lucky winner on November 15th. It's time to put a bow on this package of a show, but boy, we sure had some great guests today. Between Colin Kearns and Andrew McKean and Ricky Fairchild and Charlie Bryant, it was quite a show, and I don't know about you, but I sure enjoyed the conversations. Here's hoping you are blessed in the days ahead. Here's hoping you stay healthy too, and one way to do that is to head outdoors and spend some time in nature. And one more time, don't forget to vote. Make your voice heard. That's how democracy works, and that's how you and I can make changes in our country. Until next time, do remember this. It is your country and your outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.
Ready to step up to a quality-built rifle or shotgun that's a true classic? Check out Henry Repeating Arms, American-made. There's over 150 models to choose from in a variety of finishes and calibers for hunters and target shooters. Many of these are lever-action models with a classic look right out of the Old West. Don't be deceived, though. Henry Repeating Arms are modern, rugged, reliable, and have a lifetime guarantee. Find out more and order a free catalog today at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.